You can share pleasantries with your neighbors. It's good to see one another. All through the week, many of us were not here. And you are seeing your brother, you are seeing your sister this Sunday again. So ask him, how are you? Ask her, how do you do? How was your week? And like my manner is, if you don't see your neighbor that you normally sit together with during Sunday school, and then you ask after the person when the Sunday school is over, make sure you have your neighbor's number, and God will bless you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. This morning, Sunday school, I want to thank God for the opportunity of coming before you once again. I remain your humble servant, Rochinedu, the child of God. So this morning, we have a topic before us, and it is titled, The Cross and the Crown. If you can see that, can I hear you echo it? I want to hear you echo it to my hearing. Again. The response is coming one-sided. Again. That's better. So at least how we know that the topic is properly announced. Praise the Lord. So it is very important that we look at the cross as a Christian, as a believer. We want to look at the cross and the crown because it has been misrepresented. The cross has been misrepresented and it has been misunderstood by so many people. And that is the reason why we want to look at it once again. It is not new, but the word of God is new every morning. Praise the Lord. So you pay attention. Let's go to the message and start looking at the introduction. Before then, let's have a literal definition of what the cross is. The cross, literally, it can be defined as an instrument of crucifixion, an instrument of crucifixion, a torture stick, and death. I repeat, it's an instrument of crucifixion, it is a torture stick, and death. Whenever you hear of the cross, it was meant as an instrument of torture to punish an ardent criminal. In those days, if they want to kill somebody they believe he has committed an unpardonable offense, an offense that is beyond pardon, they can take that person to the cross where the person will die slowly. You know, it is better you shoot a man and the person dies than for you to hang a man. Praise God. If you want to help somebody who wants to die quick, just shoot the person. The person will go. And he will not feel the pain as much. But by the time you start cutting the person small, that is a very bad one. And then the worst of it all is to go and hang somebody. And the person will be struggling to survive without any helping hand. There won't be any help from anywhere because it is generally accepted that the person should be punished that way. So when you talk of the cross, you talk of torture, you talk of cross, you talk of crucifixion, you talk of the cross, you talk of death. Praise the Lord. So let's go. I hope that is understood. Praise the Lord. So, and I said here in the introduction that the cross and the crown are two important factors in Christendom that cannot be overlooked. As becometh a Christian, the cross and the crown are inevitable. Meaning, you cannot talk about the crown without the cross. Neither can you talk of the cross without the crown in view. Praise the Lord. You cannot talk about the cross without the crown in view. And you can neither talk of the crown without identifying with the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we can see in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My emphasis there is, he was looking at the crown and he was able to endure the cross. So you cannot talk about the cross without having the crown in view, and you cannot wear the crown without identifying with the cross. Praise the Lord. So, and it goes further to say, let's go back to the slide. Go back to the slide. He said, unfortunately, a lot of people want to wear the crown without the cross against the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus did not only taught us, he lived his doctrine, as we can see in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus, the Bible told us that Jesus, we should look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus did not just start preaching, he lived his preaching. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And he said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do. Praise the Lord. Jesus began to do and to teach. He is a doer of his message. Jesus is a partaker of his message. Line, hook, and sinker. Jesus did not theoreticalize his messages. He practicalized his messages. Jesus lived his message. He preached it, but he started living it before he began to preach it. Praise the Lord. That's why he said, as Jesus began to do and to teach. So, and the teaching of Jesus Christ is what we are supposed to follow. Looking unto Jesus is following his examples, living his life, doing as Jesus has given unto us as the finisher. He has laid the principle. He has laid the pattern. So whatever Jesus did while here on earth, literally, physically, is what we are expected to do as his followers. So, and if you must look unto Jesus to finish well, if you must follow Jesus to end where he is, you must follow his pattern. Praise the Lord. So, and as Jesus began to do and to teach, there are so many things Jesus wanted us to do as part of our journey to the kingdom. Let's go back to this slide. Praise God. So, and unfortunately, so many people did not want to follow the pattern of Jesus. They devised their own method of following Jesus. But Jesus, in his instruction, according to the book of Luke 1, verse 4. Luke 1, verse 4. Luke chapter 1, verse 4. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So the instruction of Jesus Christ is so certain that you cannot boycott it. You cannot, let me push this one aside and follow this one. So his instruction is so certain that you must follow. And one of the instructions that Jesus started giving us to follow is in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Matthew 10, 38. And he said, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. It's an instruction. And it must be followed. So in following Jesus, there is a necessity that we must follow. There is a commandment, there is instruction that we must follow. And that instruction connotes that whosoever that will follow Christ must follow Jesus carrying his own cross. And that is why we are bringing this message, because many people have misinterpreted carrying of cross to mean a whole lot of things which does not have any spiritual meaning. It does not have any spiritual benefit. Neither did it tarry with what Jesus instructed us to do. Let's go ahead as we continue. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Still talking about the cross. Jesus spoke in the book of Luke 1, the book of Matthew 10:38. He said, carry your cross and follow me. And this time around, he said, deny yourself and carry your cross and follow me. Still talking about the cross. But we will not understand this whole thing if we don't check it scripture by scripture. What does it take to carry cross and follow Jesus? I think that is where our attention is. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the book of Luke, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. What it takes to carry cross and follow Jesus. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knelt to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that person is God. Thou knowest the commandment. Jesus has begun to answer the question of that man now. Jesus answering him saying, you know the commandment, which says, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And this young man answered and said unto him, master, is that all that is needed for us to go into the kingdom? Is that all? All these messages you have been preaching? That's all. And I will have eternal life. If that is the case, from my childhood, I have been observing those things. Praise the Lord. We are still reading. And Jesus, loving him, and said unto him, Mr. Man, you are a legalist. You are a moralist. If I allow you, you will think that self-righteousness or morality alone can take you to the kingdom of God. There is something you are leaving behind. Praise the Lord. There is something you are leaving behind. And Jesus said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Can somebody tell me that thing the man is lacking? One thing thou lackest. The man is well to do when it comes to don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Christianity is not all about don't do this, don't do this, and don't do that. It's not a law. We are no longer in the time of don't do this and don't do that. Don't eat, don't drink, don't wash your hand or wash your hand before you eat. No, we are no longer in that period. Let us go further, leaving the beggarly element of laying on of hands. Praise the Lord. Jesus said unto him, there is one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. Praise the Lord. What is that one thing? The man is running to go into the kingdom, leaving his cross behind. Praise the Lord. He is fast to eulogize Jesus. Good master, you are so good. You are so this, you are so that. I want to be your follower, this and that. Jesus said, there is something you are leaving behind. The person that presented this message to you did not present it very well. He has told you how good I am. He has told you how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. He has told you in our church they can play music. He has told you that if you come there, they will prophesy. They have told you that solutions can be found in Christ. They have presented all these things to you. But there is one thing they did not tell you. Mr. Man, if you must follow me, there is a cross you must carry. Praise the Lord. If you don't carry that cross, you cannot cross over. Praise the Lord. And the man, as the man was paying attention, Jesus said, go and sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor and come. Jesus knows who this man is. We cannot pretend before Jesus. We cannot chameleonize before Jesus. You can't change your color before him. He knows every one of us, A to Z. So no matter our pretense, he knows us. No matter how you shout, Jesus is waiting for us. No matter how you dance, Jesus knows who you are. Me where they talk, Jesus knows me, everything about me. Praise the Lord. Jesus is waiting. How faithful are we in carrying the cross? He said, go and sell what you have. The interpretation of carry your cross and follow me, you will know it when we get to point two. And let me brush it a little. The interpretation of carry your cross and follow me is not and cannot be cutting a piece of wood and hanging it on your neck. Amen? It can never be. Jesus told him, my friend, I know where your problem is. If you cannot deny yourself of so many things that is capable of weighing you down, capable of distracting you, you are not qualified. Listen, to carry the cross is what can you be able to forfeit because of the kingdom? What can you be able to suffer because of the kingdom? There's a scripture that whenever I want to remember who I used to be, the scripture will come to me. It says, suffer yourself to be defrauded. That scripture. If the old man want to come up, I will remember that scripture. Suffer yourself to be defrauded. There are so many things we Christians cannot take. But for the sake of the kingdom, we will take it. And that is your cross. Praise the Lord. For the sake of where we are going to, we will allow ourselves to become a fool. We will sort of becoming foolish because of that kingdom. Jesus said, if your old man is still alive, it then means you have not identified with the cross and you are not carrying the cross. Praise the Lord. So, we are going to let us know what the cross is and what the cross is not. Praise the Lord. I have told us that Jesus told this man, what you are asking for is there, but there is something you must do before you get it. The Bible said the man went away angry. Do you know that the reason why so many congregations are not as jam-packed as the other people in the big cathedral is because of the kind of message that is coming out from the pulpit? Even here, we are still in the study of why it could not be as overflowing as the New Year, the crossing over, the crossover nights, or the days we have like praying programs. We are still studying it. But this has helped me to come to understand that the reason is because we have identified with the cross and our message is the cross. Praise the Lord. So anybody who is not willing to carry the cross cannot enjoy the kind of message we are enjoying. Praise the Lord. So, I want us to know what the cross is not. Point number two. Let's go to slide. Point two. What the cross is not. It is important we point those things out, seeing that the cross of Christ has been misrepresented, and misunderstood by many. Number one of what you should know about the cross. The cross is not a symbol of the church. Are you surprised? It's not a symbol of the church. I disagree. Because many have taken the cross to mean a symbol of the church, just the same way you can identify a mosque with half moon and star. I disagree with that. If you say it is a symbol of the church, what if it is the church of Satan? Because even in the church of Satan, they have the cross on it. So it is abnormal to represent the church with. I mean, to think that anywhere you see the cross, automatically is a church of the Lord Jesus. Look at this image here. This is image of the cross as being used by the church of Satan. And this is not the only one. There are so many of them. Please, IT, help me. If you can show as many cross or crosses as there. How many? This is not the only one. There are so many cross that they are portraying. Some of them, if you look at it, if you are not careful, you will think it's the cross of Calvary. But so many of them are actually a symbol of cultism. There are so many of them with chains round about with the cross at the center. There are so many of them with this one they have shown. There are lots that I have the drawing here, but you know, you cannot see it with what I drew here. So you just take the instruction. A lot of them have a lot of characters on them. Some of them have stars. But if they hang it on their neck, you would think it is the, thank you very much. God bless you. You can see. God bless you, IT. All these things now, to somebody who is thinking that the cross is a symbol of the church, whenever you see this one, if you don't take care, you will say this is the church of the Lord. But believe you me, none of this cross here is the cross where Jesus Christ was crucified. So it is wrong to believe that wherever you see any sign of the cross on top of the roof, automatically is the church of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 says something. 2 Timothy 3:5. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, they may put that cross on top of their building, is a form of godliness. They may have that symbol of the cross on their rock, is a form of godliness. They may have it at their altar, at their pulpit, it is a form of godliness. But the power of the cross cannot be found therein. Because we are not boasting with the physical drawing or wood that was joined together to make a cross. Listen, the cross can as well be said to mean a plus. We're not boasting with that. No. We are boasting with what transpired on the cross. What happened on the cross is where we boast of. Listen to me, the stick alone. Hallelujah. This stick alone cannot deliver anybody. This stick alone cannot give us salvation. But there was something that took place on that stick. And that is where the power is. Hallelujah. That is where the power is. So to them that put this kind of cross on their church, inside there, they are not talking about what happened on the cross. Praise the Lord. Instead, their sole purpose of putting that cross there is to confuse the gullible ones, to confuse those ones that are not revelated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that's it. That is why I say I disagree with that. You cannot say that the church or the cross is a symbol of the church. That is very wrong. Praise the Lord. Let's see the slide. Let's go on. The cross is not a fashion tool. Amen. The cross is not a fashion tool. I beg, let me tell us something. The cross has been reduced to mean anything. You can just go to wherever these people, these goldsmiths, they will fashion anything. You put it on your neck. So many of them are wearing it like earrings. Some are putting it on their ankle. Some are tying it on their hands. Some are carrying it with long chain. Long chain. Wherever they are going, they are dragging it as if they are dragging a goat to the altar. So, and for that reason, they are carrying a cross. No. That is not a cross. It's not a fashion tool. Can I tell you, somebody who is carrying a cross does not smile. The physical cross of Jesus Christ did not give him a smiling face. The Bible says when you behold him, when you look at him, there was nothing to admire. The pain of the cross does not give you a smiling face. That is why you cannot tell me that everything is rosy because you are in Christ. Everything is not rosy because there is something you are forfeiting because of the kingdom. There is something you are saying because of this journey, I will not carry it. No, I will not enter here because of where I am going. No, I cannot identify with this group because where I am going does not accept me identifying with this group. There's something I used to tell my wife. I told her that I've tried several organizations. I've tried several organizations to join. I want to join this club. I want to join this group. I want to join this one. All of them, I have tried joining them. And if I join, everything they are doing there is contrary to what, to my kind of life. And I don't know why. I'm not telling you so that you will like me. I don't know why I cannot mix up. I try to mix up so that there's this joint they call dovetail joint in introductory technology. If you put a dovetail joint, you can never find out where it was joined. It will so fix that you will not see the lines. Praise the Lord. So I feel like, let me join here. I will find out that if I join, there will be a bend. If I try to mix up, there will be a bend. So the only place I have found so comfortable and pleasurable, so to say, is when I found myself in the midst of brethren. You will see my charisma. You will see my joy. And then I will flow because I am in the midst of the like-minded people. Praise the Lord. So if you are carrying the cross, there is something about the cross that will not allow you to so much enjoy everything that comes your way. Because you are so scared. This thing that I am about to do, is it acceptable in the kingdom where I am going? Praise the Lord. So the cross cannot be a fashion tool. So come up this idea that you are carrying a cross because you are wearing an earring that is made of cross. You cannot say you are carrying a cross because you have now joined this organization that makes people. Before you join them, they will give you a long one so that you call yourself Bishop or Bishop. That does not mean carrying a cross. So carrying a cross is not the physical. Listen, rather, the cross is not a fashion tool, I mean to say. Praise the Lord. It's not a fashion tool. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 21. Mark 15, 21. And they compared one Simon, a Syrian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So the cross of Christ was not pleasurable. That's why he pulled him down. Jesus was carrying the cross and he was falling. And then they beckoned on somebody who was passing and said, my friend, may this man reach where they go. Carry this and go meet him. Praise the Lord. So the cross is not a fashion tool. Number three, the cross is not a demonic antiquity. Some people are confused about the cross. See, let's read. As some are thinking, because it can be found among pastors, it can be found among bishops, native doctors, priests of different types, making people's mind to be biased. But they assume all these things to fulfill a scripture. Praise the Lord. People thinking the cross is a fashion tool, you can use it to make fashion of it. People thinking the cross is a demonic antiquity. People thinking the cross is which one have we said before? Number one, the cross is not a fashion tool. The cross is not a demonic antiquity. People thinking that the cross is a symbol of the church. No. But all this assumption is because they are fulfilling a particular scripture. And that scripture is 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and we bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. He pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews is a stumbling block, and unto the Greek is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Let's hold it there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is the cross? The cross is the power of God on display. He said, to them that are foolish, to them that perish, it is foolishness. But to all that are called, it is the power of God. The power that messed up Satan, that mesmerized the devil and his cohorts, was made manifest at the cross. So anywhere you see the cross of Jesus Christ, you see the power of God at work. Anywhere you see the cross, you see the wisdom of God on display. Anywhere you see the cross, you will see the wisdom that man cannot fathom. Praise the Lord. That is the cross for you. So they assume all those things because by the wisdom of man, the Savior of mankind shouldn't have come following the cross. Praise God. The Savior of man, how comes he will be going to the cross? What is he going there to do? Can't he jump down from heaven? The same way Satan wanted Jesus to come down, jump down and worship me. That is how everybody, so many wise men, wanted God to come down. But his foolishness is even greater than the wisdom of men. How much more when God displays his wisdom? Can man understand it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I wrote in my note, let's go back to the slide. I wrote in my note, I said, go up. He said, don't be wise in your own imagination, else you will miss Jesus like the wise men from the east. Praise God, church. Don't be wise. The wise men from the east, they heard about the birth of Jesus Christ. They gathered all their properties and said, let's go and see the man that was born king in Bethlehem, Judah. They started going. Where do they branch? Where do they go to? They went to the house of Herod, the king, because they thought they are wise. The Savior cannot be born anywhere except in a king's palace. They miss Christ. If not that God had ordained that those people would be the first to see the Messiah, they would have missed him completely. You remember when they got to the house of Herod, the star disappeared. Yet, they did not understand. No wonder the Bible says, them that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, don't be wise in your imagination, else you will miss it. Let's read it. Matthew 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, from verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is that? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Can you see? They are looking, monitoring the star. But when the star disappeared, it was not done on them that this is not the place. Until they come out from that place, the star wouldn't have resurfaced. Praise the Lord. So as soon as they came out, the star started leading them again. So if you're a child of God, you pay attention to the leading of the Spirit. It is not anywhere you see that the church is big, that they are dancing, that they have this, they have that, they are making noise, that you will say, this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Many of us have different experiences on how they located this church. If we start telling it one by one, just pay attention to the telecast. You will hear what people are saying. Some will say they hear about this church through Bright TV. Some will say they see this church through Dream. Some will say they see this, they see that, they see that. That is the leading of the Spirit. But these people, they miss Jesus by going to the house of the king, because that is where they thought. They saw a symbol of the cross, so to say, there. And then they went in. Unfortunately, that was not the place. But when the star reached where Jesus was, the star stayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So do not be wise in your own imagination. Follow the foolishness of Christ, because that is where the life is. What then is the cross? Oh, this one, this is not the cross. This is not the cross. What then is the cross? Let's go back to the place we read before, 1 Corinthians verse 1, 18. The cross is a message. Amen? The cross is a message. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Let's go back to this slide. I told us here that the cross is a message, and we have read it in the book of 1 Corinthians. Listen, without the cross, we cannot hear about Jesus.
Because that is what he came here. He came here to fulfill. Man was lost. What will make Jesus recover man back to himself is the cross. Because without the shedding of blood, there shall be no remission of sin. So the cross is a message. And the cross is the love of God displayed. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where was that love displayed? At the cross. When you see the cross, the physical cross, you will see the love that the Father has for his children. When you see the cross, you don't take it for granted. You look at the cross, you feel the pain the Father felt when he lost his children. To recover them back, they has a bargain. The devil said, unless man comes to redeem man. That's why God also came in human form, passing through the cross. Praise the Lord. I said again that the cross, it was at the cross our bride price was paid. Do you know you are a wife of somebody? You know? Very good. It was at the cross that your bride price was paid. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It was at the cross. It was at the cross that your bride price was paid. Praise the Lord. Let's go. IT, let's go ahead. I said again that it was at the cross. Sorry, the cross is a plus. It's a plus. How many of us know that? It's a plus. Mathematically, there's mathematics in the Bible. In the Bible, there's mathematics. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. Let's hold it there. Listen. In the beginning of man, the book of Genesis is the book of the beginning of man. So, in the beginning, God created man with fullness of life. Fullness of life. That man should lack nothing. That man should not be sick. That man should not die. That is why God himself even put the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So that if they wish, they can feed themselves with the tree of life. Praise the Lord. That was the intention of God. But, you know, man lost that dominion. As a result of losing that dominion, man, instead of living, man started dying. Praise the Lord. So, before now, man can live up to 996. Man is qualified to live forever if they had eaten the tree of life. But man started minusing. Man started reducing. Instead of increasing in life, man started reducing in life. As a result of that reduction, man would have ended up in hell, where they will not recover themselves anymore. So, but God has an alternative. To recover man, that's why I said the cross is a plus. Before now, what was written on every man is a minus sign. Minus. We know what minus sign is. Amen? So minus sign goes this way. If you can see my hand, it goes this way. Minus sign. But Jesus coming from heaven, he came crossing that minus sign, making it instead of minus, it became a plus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It became a plus. And God was bold to say, unto them that believe. Unto them that believe on what happened on the cross. They have crossed from death unto life. Is somebody hearing me? If you believe it, that you are the reason why he have to leave his throne above, coming down to this earth. Remember, when the devil left heaven, there was peace in heaven. Praise the Lord. When he left heaven, there was peace. They rejoiced, but the earth was pronounced woe. Woe unto the inhabitant of the earth. Jesus, who is already having peace and joy in heaven, have to come down to witness the woe. Can you imagine? That's why when he came down, devil still was wondering, are you sure this is not the man that we fought before now? Maybe let me try. Maybe he's the one. I will deal with him here on earth. Because here on earth now, I don't possess him. Praise the Lord. So, to them that believe, they will have a plus. To them that accept the cross, they will have a plus. If you are running your race without the cross, there is no plus for you because you cannot cross to life. Am I talking to somebody? Praise the Lord. Let's see the slide, please. So, let's see the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24. To portray this point, John 5:24. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation. But is what? I want to hear you. Where did you pass from death to life? Where? By going through the cross. Praise the Lord. So, listen, you may be hoping that, in case you are confused, this cross we are talking about, listen, by the time you are hearing messages in this church, and you are not assimilating it as the wholesome truth of the gospel of Christ, you are waving away the cross. Is somebody hearing me? If you are not assimilating the message coming from this pulpit, you are simply saying, I want to wear the crown, but never wanted to identify with the cross. But that's not possible. It is against the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, all that he began to do and to teach. Amen, church. A child of God without the cross is simply saying, I want to go to heaven where Jesus is not the Lord. Hallelujah. So far, so good. If you have accepted the cross, identified with the cross, ready to carry the cross, you will have Zoe. You will have life because you have crossed from death unto life. What about the crown?
Amen and amen.
Church, is there a crown to be won? The answer is yes. Praise the Lord. In the biblical context, it is a symbol of honor and power which shall be given to champions, those who fought and won. There is a crown, but the crown is not for everybody.
Amen.
Remember, the crown is our propeller. It is what we are looking at. That is where we are taking the pain. The Bible said, Jesus, who for the hope of the crown, for the hope of glory, endured the cross. So, if we must, let's read it. In the biblical context, it is a symbol of honor and power which shall be given to champions, those who fought and won. As we can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But listen, there's no time. I will give you the scripture. Just keep the slide. Keep the slide. Let's write the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. You can as well find out about the crown in the book of Isaiah 28, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. James 1, verse 12. Hebrew 12, verse 2. The crown is not for everybody, but for those who will endure the cross. Are you ready? Have you seen where you are missing it? Are you ready to amend? Bow down your heads. Let us pray. The cross and the crown, they cannot be overlooked. It is so important that one cannot go without the other. And if you get it right, you get it all.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. If you have been blessed by this Sunday school, can you use your hand and worship the Lord? Can we be on our feet?